is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Hello, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to the Refresh Radio program today. We want to welcome you to Friday. Pray that you have a great day as you are preparing for the weekend to worship God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And pray that you would just have a great and glorious day. We're going to be over at General Council over in Orlando at the Orange County Convention Center. And so if you would be remembering those business sessions in prayer, we would greatly appreciate that. Lots of elections taking place. And just like always, it really helps to have God's opinion on the things that you vote on. So we really value what he has to say. His is more than an opinion. It is the will that we are looking for. So today I want to say thank you to the folks at Wyrick Air, Heat, and Electric, 321-632-9538, 321-632-9538. I'll be doing a lot of walking over in Orlando, and while outside it will be extremely hot, very hot, but on the inside, the convention center is going to require long sleeves and jackets and things like that, because it is that cool in there. Isn't it wonderful that we have air conditioning in the state of Florida? It is one of the things that makes it possible for people to live down here in relative comfort. And there's been some major advancements over the past 15 or 20 years as far as air conditioning technology. If you've got an antiquated system that goes back a ways, I want to encourage you to give the folks at Wyrick Air a call, because it might have an upfront cost as far as transitioning your system, but you could be making the payments on that with the money that you save on your electric bill. And I know that there are some wonderful advancements that have taken place in that area. They can also help you with your electrical needs at Wyrick Air. They've done that for me at my home. They came out and disconnected some things that needed to be disconnected and changed out all my outlets and everything. A few years ago, they changed out my electric panel. They do a great job. They're great people, and I encourage you to give them a call, 321-632-9538, 321-632-9538. So, like to invite you to church with us Sunday morning. We have intercessory prayer that starts at 8:30. Sunday school starts at 9:30, and our worship service starts at 10:30. And then in the afternoon at 5 o'clock over in Orlando, the General Council is having a community service, and we're going to be going over attending that. If you are thinking about visiting us on Sunday night, you will want to catch us next week. Next week we have a guest speaker on Sunday night, one of our missionaries that we support, and they're in town for General Council, as well as a missionary renewal process, just where they minister to the people who are ministering to the lost around the world. So that's going to be taking place in Orlando next week. So we have a lot of missionaries that are traveling through, and so we're looking forward to hearing the reports that they have of what God is doing on the field. I want to take you back to Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3, we're going to, begin reading in verse number 4 today. Malachi chapter 3, verse number 4, says this: "Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasant to the Lord as in the days of old, as in former years. And I will come near you for judgment. I will be a swift witness against sorcerers, against adulterers, against perjurers, against those who exploit wage earners and widows and orphans, and against those who turn away an alien, because they do not fear me, says the Lord of hosts. For I am the Lord, I do not change. Therefore you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob. Yet from the days of your fathers you have gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you said, in what way shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse. You have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. So that's where we're going to stop the reading today. It says that as God refines us, then he's going to step up and he is going to once again be the judge in the land. And it says he will be a swift witness. I will tell you this, that means he's going to be a quick witness, but he will also be an accurate witness. He will be an effective witness. Several years ago, I stood up and I said something, and a person came up to me afterwards, and I didn't really feel like the words that I said were all that powerful, but someone else came up afterwards and said, we really appreciated the words that you had to say. We think that that changed the course of the discussion that we were having. Mine was an opinion. It was an opinion that I wanted to share, but when God is a witness, he's going to be an accurate witness, and there's not going to be any refuting. A lot of times people, if a witness comes up, they want to attack the witness's character. You're not going to find any flaws in the character of God. You're never going to find a lapse of memory. You're not going to find any confusion. You're not going to find any misguided perceptions. All you're going to find is an accurate portrayal of what God has experienced. And so he says, I will be a witness against these things. Sorcerers, adulterers, perjurers, those who exploit wage earners and widows, and those who turn away the alien. They're all of those things are people that God says, look, if these things are going on in your life, you're not going to find me patting you on the back and patting you on the head and telling you what a wonderful job you have been doing. You're going to find that those things are opposite of the character that God wants us to exhibit in our lives. Verse number 6 is a very important verse. It says, for I am the Lord, I do not change. I do not change. Men change. Cultures change. Kingdoms rise. Kingdoms fall. Television programs change. Personalities change. You could be an A-list celebrity today and be an D-list celebrity a week after tomorrow. Things change very rapidly. There's only one thing, one person that does not change, and that is God. That means that in the days to come, Bob Arthur's is going to change, that there's either going to be growth or there's going to be decay. There's going to be improvement, or there is going to, it's not going to be a status quo. There'll either be improvement or decline. And so we have to change. We don't just change for change's sake. We change to improve. We change to become more like Jesus. But God is never going to have a new and improved version. He's always the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. And he never lies. It is impossible for God to lie. There's no need for him to improve. And you say, well, how can that be? Because we're so used to technology. And in modern times, things are changing so rapidly. By the time you buy an electronic device off of the shelf, it's almost outdated already because the next improvement has already happened. The next technology breakthrough has already occurred, and they're already working on that to make yours obsolete. God is not like that. God is cutting edge. He is absolutely perfect. He's holy, and he is without flaw, and he is righteous and true in all of his judgments. But we're talking here about you shall not steal. And in verse number 7, God says, yet from the days of your fathers you have gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you said, in what way will we return? Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. Now, when God says that, there is no disputing the facts. There is no debating the point. When God says something, it is fact. When he says you shall not steal, means we are not supposed to steal. We're not supposed to steal resources. We're not supposed to steal from our employers. We're not supposed to steal in any form or any variety. We are supposed to value other people and the possessions that they have. We're supposed to treat with respect and with honor. We're not supposed to steal valor. We're not supposed to steal honor. We're not supposed to steal reverence from God. And we are certainly not supposed to steal those things that God has said they are his. And the people said, in what way have we robbed you? A lot of people think, well, how can you rob God? Well, if God entrusts something to you and he says, here, 9 of these are yours, but the first one is mine, I want to make sure that you give me back the one that I gave you, and you're going to see that I'm going to make those 9 go farther than 10 would have if I had not been involved in your process. So when God said that they had robbed him in tithes and offerings, he wasn't speaking in hyperbole. He wasn't exaggerating. He was telling the truth. And he said it wasn't just an individual. It wasn't just a group. He said, even this whole nation, this entire people group that are supposed to be called by my name, they're supposed to be honoring me and worshiping. This was a group of people. They were expecting the blessings. They were expecting God to move on their behalf. But they did not think that there was any part or responsibility that they had in the process. Stealing from God is something that I do not recommend. It is something that is never going to work out well for you. So it says here, you are cursed with a curse. You have robbed me, even this whole nation. Now, I want to point your attention to verse number 10, because God begins to describe the solution. I love that about God, that God doesn't just bring up what's wrong. He brings up the way to correct the process. There is no such thing as a hopeless situation with God. There are many, many people who are skilled at pointing out the things that are wrong. And many years ago, I finally adopted this mindset, and that was this. Well, if God is revealing to you that this is wrong, then you must be part of the solution to solve this problem. And all of a sudden, that becomes a bit of an issue for some people. Because they don't want to lift a finger to solve a problem. So here is what our policy is at Merit Assembly of God. And in all of the years that I have been the pastor, only one time has anyone ever taken up this this, taking me up on this offer. And most of the people who have been involved and do lots of work around the church, they really appreciate this because it keeps us from living under the microscope of someone else's critique. And that is this: if there's a project that is being done and you weren't there, don't criticize it. If you do criticize it, then we expect that what you are saying is that you are volunteering to correct the problem or redo it in a manner that you think is the way that it needs to be done. But the one thing that we aren't going to do at Merit Assembly of God is we're not going to be running around chasing our tail, trying to scratch everybody else's itch when we've been there and put in all of the time and all of the effort to finish a project, and somebody come along and say, "Well, we don't like the way you did that." You know, there were people that did that in the Old Testament. Gideon went to battle and the children of Ephraim got mad at him because he went to battle and they got left behind. And he placated them. He said, "Well, what have I done compared to you? I mean, after all, you killed the two kings that were oppressing us. They came along and they got they were part of the victory. They weren't necessarily part of the battle." And you might think that solves the problem, but I'll tell you that if you go back to the book of Judges, you will find that a little later, a judge by the name of Jephthah arose, and he went to battle. He went to deliver the children of Israel, and guess which tribe didn't show up? Ephraim, same tribe that bothered Gideon. And so the Ephraimites came, and they said, "We're not happy that you went to battle without us." And Jephthah's response was this: "Look, I sent out the information, I sent out the invitation, and you didn't come. It's your problem, not my problem." And there ended up being a little civil war between Ephraim and the rest of Israel, and Ephraim didn't come out on the good end of that. And so you and I, we cannot afford to just be looking at the problem and pointing out flaws and all of that sort of stuff. Anybody can do that. God has solutions. The people of God have solutions. You, there is a solution for the matters that you deal with in your life. And so God describes the solution that he has for the nation of Israel. And it's a solution that people argue about to this day. I'm not here to argue about it. I'm just here to proclaim the word of God. And if you are happy living in a different mode than this, then God bless you. You know, I pray it works out well for you. This solution has worked out well for me. It is working out well for the people of Merit Assembly of God. It's working out well for Merit Assembly of God. It's been working out well for people for thousands of years, and so we highly recommend this solution. And until somebody shows a better way to live, which there's not going to be one, then we're going to continue to pursue this course in our individual lives and in our church. It says, "Bring all the tithes into the storehouse." Okay, tithe, once again, is not just 10%, it is the first 10%. A lot of people will say, "This is Levitical law. It's not New Testament." Well, in Matthew 13, Jesus said, you should have continued the tithing. You should have also practiced the other things. And people respond to that and say, okay, well, Jesus was talking to people who were still living under the Levitical law. And at that point in time, we're not going, I mean, if a person doesn't want to change, then who am I to make them? I'm just there to offer information. I will tell you this, that tithing was a tithe of faith before it was ever a tithe of the law. Abraham tithed by faith. Jacob tithed by faith. And, you know, that was long before the Levitical law, hundreds of years before the Levitical law came into place. And if you really want to get technical, if you want to get down into the weeds about it, the standard in the New Testament is that God owns everything that we've got anyway. We're just stewards of it. And so we don't even stop at 10%. We take it, the tithes and the offerings that we offer to God. We are, the more we have been enabled to give, the more that God has blessed. We are blessed to be a blessing. If you don't remember anything else about Merit Assembly of God, remember this. Our church, though small, our church, though not in a great location, is blessed by God. And it is blessed to be a blessing. It says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. There was a purpose for the tithe coming in. It was to make sure that there were people. Do you realize that God said that he was going to take care of the widows and the orphans? Who do you suppose was going to take care of that? It was not just going to be the family members. It was going to be the church. Now, we are called, tagged with a responsibility, tasked with a responsibility of making sure that if there's a person in our family that is in need, that we help take care of that need. But God said, I've got a special place in my heart for the widows and the orphans. And this tithe that came into the storehouse was designed to help meet that need. There were also farming principles that were put in place by God. They were not supposed to glean all the way to the edge of the field so that people who were widows and orphans could come and they could glean those fields. You see, it's not just about a handout. It's not just about giving somebody something to eat. It was that there's a responsibility. Listen, if you're just sitting at home watching soap operas all day, I want to challenge you. There's a culture that is going to hell in a handbasket around here. I'm not just talking locally. I'm talking about on a global scale. We need a few people praying. Do your church a favor. Do your pastor a favor and say, Pastor, do you have some place that I could come and I could pray? I want to see souls saved. And then after he gets back up off the floor, I'm sure he'll show you someplace. You see, there needs to be some, but a lot of times people want to say, well, I don't have to tithe. And then they say, well, why isn't there any meat in the house? Why isn't there enough resources to go around? I've got a friend, he told a story. I don't remember exactly when it was or what church it was or anything like that. But they had done a study and they said that if everybody in their church were on welfare but tithed, that the church budget would double. Okay? If everybody in their church was on welfare and tithed the way that God wants us to tithe, that their church budget would double. There was a book that was written several years ago. I don't remember the name. I think the author of it was Norman Robertson, if I remember right. And he described how this little church out in the Midwest, a farming community, his church came to him and said, look, you're the most successful businessman in town. Would you be the church treasurer? And he said, I will only do it if no one asks me any questions for a year. And so they said, okay, that's kind of strange, but we'll go ahead and do that. And so after a year, he came back to them. This guy happened to run the silo. And at the end of the year, he stood up before the congregation and he said, I want you to know that We are current on every bill. The mortgage has been paid off. The staff has all gotten a raise. Missions giving is way up. And we've got X number of thousands of dollars in the bank. And they said, how in the world is that possible? We've been attending this church. Nobody has really come in. I mean, there's not been a major financial boom that has happened here. How is the church prospering all of a sudden? He said, well, he said, I continued to pay you all the same way that I always had, but I also took a tithe and I gave it to the church whenever you brought your grain to the silo. You left with the same amount of money that you always had, and I gave a tithe to the church, and the church budget increased exponentially as a result of that. And you know, I'm here. I'm not a big money guy. I'm definitely not a fundraiser. What I am, I'm into seeing the people of God thrive. That's where I'm at. Our church has come from bankrupt to blessed. It's come from a building that had lots of issues to a building that every week as things go by, there are fewer and fewer building issues that have to be dealt with. There are still people that we are helping in the community. And so, by the way, if you think that your pastor only has a one-day-a-week job, see if he'll let you tag along, ride along with him for a while. You'll find that probably there's a lot more to his job than what you really realize. So I don't know about you, but I don't want to be living under any curse. Proverbs says an undeserved curse does not come to rest. And so I'm really, really motivated not to live under any curse, and I certainly don't want to deserve one. But when God says, if y'all continue to do this, where you continue to rob me, steal from me, then you're going to continue to experience life without my blessing, that's not the place you want to live. We've got some people in our church that have taken this passage that said, test me in this, try me in this, prove me in this, and they have done just that. And you know what they're finding? They're finding that week after week, their financial situation is drastically improving. I don't want you to rob God. I want you to experience the blessings of God. Don't rob yourself of God's blessing in your life. It's certainly not worth it. God bless you. You have a great weekend. I'm going to have a great weekend, and we will see you Monday right here on the Refresh radio program.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Say I am is not the man that I am when no one's around.